Hello and welcome to the Basketball Fiends Podcast, a proud member of the R Esquina Podcast Network. I am one of your hosts, Jesus Acevedo Jr., and with me as always is Alex Aguilera. Alex, say hello to the good people.
What is up, folks? How's it going? It's your boy, and we are the Basketball Fiends, and you're probably listening to this podcast, and you're probably wondering, who the hell are these guys? Well, guess what? We're going to tell you right now, right here and right now.
This is the episode. This is the episode where people find out who is Jesus Acevedo Jr., who is Alex Aguilera.
So I guess, Jesus, do you want to get into this? Let the people know who we are?
Yes, let's get into this. You know, we're going to let the people know who we are. And I feel the best way is just answering questions about each other. And we're interviewing each other. So the first question I have for you, Alex, is since this is the basketball podcast, you know, we're the basketball fans. You know, we're addicted to this game. It's in our veins. It runs through it. Alex, what's your earliest basketball memory?
Man, my earliest basketball memory, I would say playing-wise, I remember when I was real little, I was at one of the YMCAs here in Chicago, and we were playing against this team. It was the blue team. We were the red team, and we were playing the blue team. And the star player was like the son of the head coach, and like this kid could ball, like he was like he was solid, and I was tasked with guarding him.
If you're the son of a head coach, you're gonna be a good player,
right? And I got tasked with guarding him, and I remember just being like so freaked out, so like, oh my god, I gotta guard this guy. But I remember a couple years later, I ended up getting better, and we kind of went toe to toe. But yeah, I remember.
Okay. How old were you?
When we first started playing, I think I was maybe like 7 or 8. And then when I was 11, we were in the same league again. And that year, like that was like my breakout year. I was on the red team again. Yeah, I had like a little breakout year. And
hey, Alex.
No, I got for some reason I got real good. Well, let me give some credit to myself. Like I did improve my game a little bit. I did get better. But yeah, that 1 year I was, not to bash my other teammates, but I was like the main guy on my team.
You were carrying the load.
Yeah, I kind of was. And like, I was up to the task, but at the same time, I was kind of like, damn, like I kind of want some help. But yeah, when you
went up to the podium and you said, this team just isn't good enough. We tried, train me.
Yeah, we tried it. I remember one time we were playing that same team and it was a tight game and I was carrying the load. You know, down the stretch, I was driving to the lane, getting these layups, and there was a timeout, and the other coach goes, dude, you need to, like, get on this guy when he drives to the lane, and that's what they ended up doing. They, like, crashed the lane when I tried to drive, because they knew I was gonna get the ball, so I got a nice little self-esteem boost there.
Nice. Now that's your earliest memory of playing basketball. What's your earliest memory where you just remember like basketball just came into your world?
When it first came into my world, I got introduced to the game when I was 5. My mom put me in a
five.
Yeah, I got introduced to the game when I was 5. My mom put me in this in a basketball league. It was on Saturdays, you know, just to get me active or whatever. And, like, I really just, like, fell for it, just kind of, like, fell in love with the game from that point on. I remember there was 1 year, actually a buddy of mine, I had forgotten, but, like, we had went undefeated 1 year when I was real little. I think it was, like, when I was 6. And I always just kind of, like, kept playing. The game was always a part of my life from then on forward.
My earliest basketball memory, I remember my dad would always give me the sports newspapers because he knew that I liked sports. And I was always, the reason he got me that is because I started watching, my parents got me a basketball, one of those like play school basketball things, right? Like
the little tech hoop? Like the little tech
hoop? Yeah, something like that. And I was like 6, maybe you want to say 7 years old. And I would be there with the little plastic balls, dunk it, you know, and do all these things, you know. And then that's when I started getting, I was like, well, basketball, like, I started getting into watching the Houston Rockets, you know, and I grew up in Houston, and it was 92, 93, you know, and 93, 94 is when I really got the basketball going, and that was whenever the Rockets won the first championship.
Right, you got the Olajuwon years.
Olajuwon years, man, greatest of all time. And that was when I got into him in the playoffs, and that was when basketball was just, like, everything for me. you know. And then of course I had to start playing basketball, right? Because I had my little play school plastic hoop, you know. But I grew that pretty quick,
right? You needed the real hoop. It was like, okay, I'm getting a little too big for this. I need the real hoop.
I needed the real thing. But here's the thing, you know. I grew up, you know, kind of a low income, so we didn't have access to like a close park. And if it was close, it was in a bad neighborhood, you know. So my parents were definitely not gonna let me go. So what we did is we took that little plastic hoop ring. I took it off of the goal, and we put it. I live in these apartments that had a parking lot behind us, and it was a pretty wide parking lot. And there was always space, like, to ruin, you know, people play football there. So there was a tree, and somebody put it a big wooden board on the tree. So we put my plastic ring, we put that as the hoop. So it was like this makeshift basketball court. And man, we were out there.
That is so cool.
We were out there hooping, like, in this, like, the parking lot was like a little, you know, curve. And it's this little plastic ring. Man, we tore that really quick. And the next step after that was we had to put one of those milk crates. Like, yeah. I actually played basketball in a milk crate.
That was me. You see in movies, but like, I actually did it.
I actually did that. That's why I'm like, whenever I saw like a movie, so I was like, yes, I know. I know how that is, you know? So when I actually started playing on an actual real basketball hoop was when I went to school, in middle school. And I was like, oh, this is different, you know?
Right.
Because I was used to playing just like milk crates and plastic rings, you know. So that was my first earliest basketball memory and how I started playing basketball. So would it be suffice to say, Alex, that at 5 years old, that's when you fell in love with basketball?
Yeah, I would say I'll even go on record to say like basketball was like my first love. Like, I'm not even just saying it for, you know, for the podcast or just for anything like that. It was, I want to say, really the first time that, you know, I grew to love just something like unmaterialistic, whatever you want to call it. Just not even a person, just a game that I just gravitated towards, and like I just couldn't get enough of.
Yeah, it's same for me. For me, I mean, it really cemented a love, a passion for it. 1994-1995 Rocket season, you know, because that was the first season where I started watching every game, you know, every game that I could. Because in the previous season, I just got into it in the playoffs. But that 93-94, that 94-95 season, when they won the title, and, you know, they were the sixth seed, you know, and I think it could be argued that championship season for an NBA team was the most difficult of any ever. You know, they were a sixth seed. They beat, you know, teams that had 60-plus wins, coming back 3-1. So that's the Orlando. That's when they stepped Orlando 4-0, and you know it's crazy. You know the bounce of the ball. You know, if Nick Anderson makes one of those free throws, you know, who knows? Maybe we're having a different conversation. But yeah, that was when I fell in love with basketball, and it was just, and of course that year I was just playing more and more basketball, and it was just something that it was fun to do. So now, you know, you are 22 years old. You watch a lot of NBA. Who's the one player you wish you saw play, like, you know, on TV, live, what have you? Now, also, like we have to say you're from Chicago. So let's just get that out the way. You're in Chicago.
Yeah, so let's get it out the way. Right, so I'm a Chicago kid. Like, the cliche, easy answer is MJ.
Because you never saw him play, right?
No, I was born a couple months after the sixth championship.
Oh wow, a couple months.
They won in they were born in June. They won in June. I was born in August.
Oh wow.
So I like just missed out on it. And I didn't really start getting into basketball until like right after MJ retired. Right. So I didn't like see him play, let alone like in his prime. So that's one guy I would have loved to see, you know, like on TV. From what I heard from him was obviously just stories, like my parents talking to me about him, you know, my brothers, you know, elderly folk, just older people that I knew. But I will say one other guy that I wish I would have loved to see live was Dr. J.
Oof. Yeah,
Dr. J, Julius Erving. I remember one of the, I don't know if you remember those NBA Street video games.
Yes.
On like GameCube or whatever, on like the PlayStation 2. So that's how I was introduced to Dr. J. And I was like, holy crap, like this guy is cool. And then I ended up finding out dude played in like, you know, 70s, 80s. And I was like, man, okay, this is like way before me.
I wasn't... Yeah, he precedes me as well. You know, I was born in 83. So But I didn't get into the NBA till 10 years later when I was like about 10 years old, you know? So I guess,
what's a guy for you in your case then?
Me, one guy, Larry Bird. Like I would love to have seen Larry Bird play. You know, he's someone that, you know, people call me Larry Bird on the court. Obviously, I guess I should say for the audience, I'm 6'5", you know, I'm tall, skinny, scrawny. But I'm white complected, you know, I'm not white, I'm Mexican, you know, but I do look very white complected. Right. So I do get confused a lot. So they would call me Larry on the court, and I wore that like a badge of honor. I was like, hell yeah, you know, Larry Bird, you know, that's what
I'm Larry. I'm Mexican Larry,
you know, Mexican
bro.
Larry, there you go. You know, so Larry is one. Cause I mean, you know, everything I've seen, every documentary I've seen about him and the Boston Celtics in the '80s and how he was as a player. I mean, he was just, he gave it to you. He gave it to players night after night.
He did, man.
Like, this guy couldn't maybe jump 5 inches off the floor. He was just out right. there, like, giving it to
the
players.
Most unathletic dude, but, you know, like, he could drop 34 down you any given night.
And he was telling you what he was going to do. Like, I'm sure you've seen some of his videos. Like, he was telling you, hey, I'm going to do this, and do this.
And you're not going to stop me.
And you're not going to stop me. You know,
and it's just like you're just looking at him like, what the hell? Like, you shouldn't be able to do that. Yeah. And yeah, here you are telling me exactly what you're gonna do. I love the story. There was one, was it against Indiana? I forget where he was playing with his offhand.
Yes, he was playing left-handed. I think it was in Chicago, if I'm not mistaken. Actually, not Indiana.
It might have been. Yeah, that's probably why I know. Yeah. That's probably why it comes to mind.
But yes, he said, I'm gonna play all left-handed, and I think they asked him why. I think because the next day they're playing the Lakers or Philadelphia, and he said that he wanted to save his hand for
the Lakers or something like that. I was like, you don't just
and he dropped
do that.
I think I can't remember the stat line, but I think it must have been like 28 some points, you know, 10 rebounds, like,
and he had like a decent game.
So yeah, so he's definitely one that I would like to have seen play. Yeah,
all right, I feel that. All right, now I got a question for you, right, just to switch gears a little bit. Favorite basketball shoe, especially nowadays, like,
you know, it's weird. As much as I don't love basketball, I'm not a big, like, I don't collect basketball shoes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I like I'm always about comfort on the court, you know. So
okay,
if I can find a basketball shoe that's comfortable for me to play in, I don't care what it looks like. You know, obviously, I'll try to match it to have a look nice and you know, things like that. But there was one shoe I remember, N1. I don't know if you grew up whenever N1 had shoes. They had this shoe that was really nice. And it was nice that I didn't want to hoop in it, but I like hooping it too. It was called Tattoo. N1 Tattoo. And it was like all black. I don't know. I didn't even know if you can find a picture of it online, but that's the one that was my favorite basketball shoe that I ever had and that I ever played with. It was the N1 Tattoo. And if I could actually find it again, I would definitely
I got to see it because, man, N1.
Yeah, N1, right? It was a while back.
Dude,
so
yeah, N1 mixtapes, man. Oh, those are legendary. My favorite is that it was that 720 dunk.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I remember I was discovering YouTube and it like popped up on the screen and I was like 720. And I was like, and I had to do the math in my head. I'm like, wait, that's 3 spins. I was like, that's impossible. I was like, you can't do that.
Wait a minute.
And I flipped out when I saw it.
Yeah, it was, you almost had to look at it a couple of times. Like, wait, that was 3 spins? Because it was just so, you know, you didn't believe it.
No, I didn't. I remember seeing like the little caption. I'm like, no, like, you just can't do that. Like, I've seen like maybe a 540 up until that point, but I was like, you can't do a 720. Like, it's impossible. It's humanly impossible.
Yeah.
And he did it in a game nonetheless.
Nonetheless, right? So now, Alex, what is your favorite basketball shoe?
So it's cliche. I would probably say the Air Jordan 1.
Okay. Air Force 1?
Just because I feel like it's right. No, not the Air Force 1s. MJ's first shoe.
Oh, okay.
His first shoe. Man, don't get me started on Air Force 1s. Actually, I did have some mid Air Force 1s, and I love those. But like now I'm kind of over Air Force 1s. But MJ's first shoe, though, the AJ1s, okay, was, I remember, I think I finally got them in third grade. What is it? I think I had the Chicago colorway.
Ooh, okay.
I want to say with the white toe box, if I remember correctly. Yeah. And man, dude, I wore them out. Like, I wore those shoes every day. This was before, like, this sneaker culture. Now, like, I didn't know about it that much, where, like, you can't crease them up or anything. Like, dude, I played kickball on those. Like, I was running all over the place with them. One time, I think I had gotten them muddy. Like, those are my favorite pair of shoes, dude. Like, I wore them every day. And, like, I just fell in love with it. Like, it went with everything that I wore. Like, I wore them to school every day. Like, no matter what I put on, like, they just always, like, went with everything that I wore. And it was just, like, dude, like, I love those shoes. And finally, I was able to find a pair that was at a reasonable price, because now they're just crazy expensive.
Wait, so now do you own a pair of those shoes right now?
I have two.
Okay.
So I got some mids. So, like, now there's the lows, the mids, and then the OGs. Yeah. So I got some mids, which are really comfy. I don't get why they get some hate, because they're not the true, like, high tops, but I love them. They're super comfy. And then I actually have a pair of OG ones. They're, like, this made out of, like, recycled materials.
Oh, nice.
I was able to get, I think it's, like, 20%, like, recycled materials that the shoe is built in. And they're not leather. Hmm. So I don't have to worry about creases too much. I can kind of wear them a little bit, and, you know, they could take a little bit of a beating. So that's what I like about them.
Okay.
But yeah, man, the Air Jordan 1, that's a shoe that they can just go with anything. But I will say the Blazers, they started off as a basketball shoe. Now they're like a skateboarding shoe, but George Gervin used to rock them. And like, now that's what, like, one of my favorite shoes now to wear.
Nice. Okay. Now, you know, we know this is a basketball podcast, you know, but we want to also get people to know us outside of basketball. You know, we'll get back to some more basketball questions. But now, Alex, I'm going to throw a little curveball at you. What's one movie that makes you get teary-eyed every single time you watch it? Like, no matter what, like, you just know, you're like, oh, this movie, it's on. I better get some Kleenex because this is going to happen.
I think Hardball.
Hardball. Ooh.
With Keanu Reeves.
Don't you, man.
So, like,
go ahead.
So, aside from the fact that it's based in Chicago, like, when I first saw that movie, I was like, oh, my God, when G-Baby died, I was just in tears.
And listen, we know, like, that's a spoiler, but if you haven't seen the movie by now, it's 2020. The movie was released almost 15 years ago, right? So we're sorry, but go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, but no, when I saw G-Baby die, I was like, no, like he, like, stop playing with me. Like, he's going to be all right. He'll pull through.
Right.
And, like, they cut away from before. Like, he ended up finding out that he scored, like, the game-winning run type of deal. And I was just like, he died. And just, yeah, it's still to this day, like, that movie will tear me up. Not as much, but some days, like, I'll watch it and I'm just sitting on the couch just like, no.
I still remember the first time I watched it, and I was like, did they just do that? Did that just happen? Like, no, you don't believe it, because it was like, are you, they're seriously just going to do this? And it shocked me, you know? And then, of course, like you said, they showed what he did before, and I was like, oh. You know, because immediately, once they cut away from the game, you're like, wait, what are they doing?
Right, like, why didn't they show what happened?
Yeah, like what happened? You know, and I think that should have been our first indication, you know, that something was up. Because, like, why won't you show the final play of the game, right? Like,
that's the championship
exactly.
Right there.
That's the ship, you know?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Hardball is probably, like, the one movie that'll get me teary-eyed even to this day. But I guess let me put that question to you. What is a movie that gets you teary-eyed still?
The one movie, man, it's just, like, no matter what, Rudy. You haven't seen Rudy.
Rudy?
Yes, Rudy. Rudy.
I actually can't. I can't say I've seen
you
that one.
You have not seen Rudy. It is. This movie, I'm going to speak without any spoilers. It's just a movie, but it's based on a true story. You know, Rudy is a football player, and it's been a dream of his to be on the Notre Dame football team. But he's this little runt. He's nothing.
I think I know what movie you're talking about, but go ahead.
Yes, that one. Like, it's just no matter what, like, once, you know, there comes a moment in the movie, you know, and there's a couple moments throughout, but there's especially one moment where you just, you know, it reaches the climax, and you just, these feelings that have been welling up in you throughout the whole movie, they just kind of release, and you're like, wow, like, this is, you know, and no matter when, that movie just gets me, you know. It's about the underdog, and, you know, the underdog, you know, pushing through that wall. And it's just, you know, it's something that everyday people can relate to. And if you have not watched the movie, mm-hmm. that's homework for you. You have to watch that movie. That is homework for you. You have to watch Broody.
I gotta watch that one now.
Yeah. I'm probably gonna watch Harbaugh because my wife Giselle, she hasn't seen Harbaugh yet, and she's gonna listen to this podcast, so she's gonna know.
She's gonna ball.
Yeah, so before this episode releases, we'll have to watch it so that way it's not a spoiler for her. But yeah, that's actually a good movie, Harbaugh. But yeah, so mine was Rudy.
I gotta see Rudy.
No, you have to.
I think I wanna see. I've seen bits and pieces of it, but like I can't say I've seen the movie through and through. Yeah. But like once you mentioned Notre Dame, I was like, oh wait, I think I know that movie. I know what he's talking about now.
Yeah. Now, let's talk a little food wise. You know, we should also say, you know, you're Puerto Rican, Mexican.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to know, what is one Puerto Rican dish that everyone should try? What is like the dish that like this is Puerto Rico? You got to try this dish.
I would probably say pateles.
And what is that?
So, like, I don't want to call it a Puerto Rican tamale.
Okay.
I don't like saying that, but just for lack of a better comparison, you have the masa. It's wrapped in a like a banana leaf. Okay. Then you throw like your meat inside. You wrap it up in a paper and you tie it up. Yeah. And then you boil it for, I think, 2 hours.
Oh. Okay.
My dad cooks it. Well, basically how we do it in my family is that usually it's a Thanksgiving tradition. We'll get like the whole family over, and it's like a whole factory line
it
type
is,
of deal. Like everybody has like their little assignment of what they need to do. So like some people, their job is to tie it up. Your job is you got to put the meat in, spread it around. Yours is to like lay out the banana, the leaf, put the masa on and all that. So it's a fun time. Like usually Thanksgiving, we haven't done it in a while.
Obviously,
we couldn't do it this
definitely
year.
Not.
But yeah, pateles is definitely
and
a Puerto Rican dish. I always recommend.
It definitely sounds like you say like a Puerto Rican tamale, but it's just a different version of it. You know, it's a different variation.
Right. Even, it's our own little like spin.
Exactly.
To it.
You know, because even what you're talking about that holiday tradition, that's something very common in you know Mexican tradition as well. Get the family gets together and there's like people you know doing tamales. Like you know, there's a line. You know, it's like a factory line. Like
right.
like you said, I'm passing
exactly.
It to you, you know, so. Mm-hmm. So definitely nice.
Like I don't like calling it a tamale because I love tamales,
right.
And it's its own thing.
Of course, yeah.
It's you know it's its own thing, and I don't want to take away from it. But just I usually sometimes will say that just so someone will get like a general idea of what I'm talking about.
Yeah. It's the best way to kind of describe it.
All right, so I guess since you're Mexican, what's a Mexican dish that you?
It's almost
I gotta ask
right,
you
right.
now.
It almost seems unfair, you know, because I mean tacos, right? But everybody's ate tacos, right?
Right.
But if
right,
there's
right,
one
right.
thing that I would say that I think everybody who likes Mexican food that haven't had this dish, they should try is chilaquiles. Chilaquiles is it's one of my best favorite breakfast foods, you know. And pretty much what this is, it's chips, you know, with salsa. You know, green, red, and then it'll be shredded cheese, or also instead of shredded cheese, they'll do cotija cheese, and then you could do two eggs on top, and then a side of chicken. Sometimes it'll be shredded chicken, or it can be fajita, you know. And then the egg is on top of the chilaquiles, so on top of the tortilla chips with the salsa and the cheese, you know. So then when you break that egg open, all the you know yolk just spreads over into the chips, and then you get the chicken. It's just I'm starting to get hungry. Like I'm probably gonna have you know chilaquiles now for breakfast tomorrow.
for tomorrow already, it's like damn. We start talking about food already.
Right.
You get hungry.
That's how it is. That's how it goes. But you know, let's something else that I wanted to know. It's what's you know we're both from the conversations we've had. We're both superhero fans. You know what? Who do you think is an underrated or overrated superhero?
Okay, so I got my overrated hero would probably be Iron Man.
Interesting.
That may be somewhat of a hot take, but I feel like, don't get me wrong, like Robert Downey Jr. was as perfect gets when portraying, you know, a comic book character. But I feel like because of his performance, like all of a sudden, and rightfully so, like just catapulted that character into just new levels. And I feel like before that, like you didn't really know who he was or whatever, anything like that. So it's just kind of like, okay, so like now Iron Man's your favorite superhero because of Robert Downey Jr. It's like, come on now, like, you know, whatever. Like that's so casual. That's so whatever. But I will say an underrated hero switching from Marvel to DC is Nightwing.
Nightwing. Oh, interesting. That's a good
choice. Nightwings.
Nice.
Nightwing. So it's just real quick for anybody who doesn't know, it's Batman's first Robin who gets another alter ego. Just, I love the character. Just, he branches off to do his own thing. Yeah.
It's, I'll say, you know, it's interesting you said that Iron Man was kind of overrated. And I think, you know, I think it was mostly for those, I guess, casual fans that aren't, you know, don't know much about comic book history or the comic book stories before Marvel became MCU, right? Because Marvel, these mm-hmm. characters and these heroes, they've lived so much in the Marvel comic book universe, you know, MCU, mm-hmm. Different MCU, you know. But no, so definitely Robert Downey's performance made him more popular. I guess I'll say my two answers really quick. My I guess overrated superhero, I would say just because he's like, I guess the first one, I'll say maybe Superman. It's a bit overrated sometimes, you know.
Okay.
I guess because he's like the goody two shoes kind of, you know. But I will say in the comic book, some people, some creators have done some interesting things with them. Like there's this one called Superman Red Sun, I believe it's called, and it's pretty much about where Superman, what if he hadn't landed in Kansas and he landed in Russia, you know, so he would have been, that was an interesting thing. So, you know, it's I'll say overrated just because he's
the first one. He's the golden boy.
There you go, you know. Well, underrated, man, that's a tough one. You could pick so many. Maybe Thor, I would say. He's underrated.
Okay.
You know, I think he definitely won me over. Well, I'll say in the film version, you know, the Thor 3 Ragnarok, you know, that one won me over big time.
Yeah.
So those are my last two. But the last question we're gonna get into in the Get to Know the Fiends is one that
this one
is, you know, pretty much. So Alec, here it is. Are boneless wings actually wings? Go.
No, they are not.
they
absolutely not.
They are not. I was, you know, we didn't.
Boneless wings are chicken nuggets. That's what they are.
That's what they are. You know, I was kind of hoping we had different opinions, but I'm even better that we're the same. Because yes, boneless wings are just chicken nuggets. I don't know who came up to decide to call them boneless wings. And here's what I think. Here's my theory, right? So I think somebody up there was like, boneless wings, it sounds more adults than chicken nuggets. Because immediately, once you hear the word chicken nugget, what do you think when you hear chicken nuggets?
Like, oh, little kid. Like, give him the dinosaur chicken nuggets.
There you go. But if you hear boneless wings, you're like, oh, okay. Okay. It just sounds a little bit more. It's a little mind thing. Now, could be completely wrong, right? That's just my theory on boneless wings.
I've never heard that before. I've always wondered, like, why they call them boneless wings. But, like, I've had some friends where they're just like, oh, I love boneless wings. And I'm like,
you mean nugget?
I mean, they're not wings, right? I'm like, they're just kind of like nuggets. They're like, no, like, you know, they're wings just without the bone. And I'm just like, okay, you mean to tell me you're going to stare at a so-called, quote-unquote, boneless wing and tell me, like, you're going to compare that to an actual chicken wing? Like, look dead at a chicken and say that comes from the same place? No, it does not.
Exactly.
So don't talk to me about boneless wings or chicken wings, because they're not.
I'd rather they come like give it its own name, you know, maybe not chicken nugget, you know, but definitely not boneless wings.
Right.
It could be like, you know, chicken chunks, you know. maybe that doesn't sound very very pleasing, huh?
Chicken.
Give me a
chicken chunks.
Give me a 8 piece of chicken chunk. I'll take a 10 piece of chicken chunk. Toss it in that buffalo sauce. Chicken chunk.
That sounds chicken chunk. I think chicken. I've been seeing chicken bites. I think that's
okay. Okay. Chicken bites. Chicken bites is a little bit more better. So
chicken chunk.
That's the word of the day.
Go to B Dubs. look at the waiter. Can I get some chicken chunks? They look at you like, excuse me.
Throw some chicken chunks down here on this table, sir.
Oh my God.
All right.
I can't even.
Well, that was the last question we had. You know, we're up to the time limit. You know, hope you got to know a little bit more about us, you know, about the Fiends.
Just a little bit,
you know. And as each show, we're going to really, you know, reveal a little bit more of ourselves through our basketball take, you know. We'll definitely want to agree on everything. So, Alex, you know, any last parting thoughts?
You know, I'm just excited for this podcast. Can't wait for you guys to listen in and hear us talk about basketball, man.
There you have it. Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Basketball Fiends. Don't forget to subscribe. See ya.